Well, in another challenge to the new coalition government, the jobless rate is continuing to rise. According to the latest official figures out yesterday, almost 11,000 jobs disappeared from the economy last month, pushing up the proportion of the adult population out of work to a new four-year high of 5.8%. The unemployment rate would be even higher if it weren't for the thousands of people giving up the search for work. Stephen Kukulis is a leading economist. He's also the managing director of the Canberra-based consultancy Market Economics, and he joins us now from Canberra. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Geraldine.
Now, as I understand it, this rise in the jobless rate wasn't unexpected, but the numbers of jobs disappearing from the economy, nearly 11,000 just last month, now that was a surprise. What sorts of jobs are being lost?
Yeah, look, we don't have the details of that yet. We have to wait a couple of months for the Bureau of Statistics to give us those numbers. But the bottom line is that we've got the economy that's been growing a little below trend for the last year. We saw that with the GDP figures last week. So we know that we're growing only at about 2.5%, and that's just not fast enough to create the amount of jobs that we need to match the population growth and to stop this unemployment rate from rising. So we've got this dynamic of economic underperformance that's showing up very clearly in these labour market numbers.
To get some perspective, we're still pretty low by international standards, aren't we? Should that give us comfort? Or is the fact that people are dropping out of the search for work, participation rates now at seven-year lows, maybe that's what we should be putting some concern into?
Oh, look, definitely. It's all of the above. Look, we're doing well relative to the rest of the world, but that doesn't mean that we don't have an issue here to address, that this creeping up in the unemployment rate. Look, Treasury, when they put out their pre-election fiscal outlook, were confirming their forecast for the unemployment rate to hit 6.25% in the middle of next year before it starts to fall away slowly but surely. The critical issue that we've got here about the labour market is encouraging more people to go into paid work, to go into employment, because that's going to be the critical element. The dependency ratio as the population ages is increasing. So that means we're going to have fewer people working for money, paying taxes, that's going to be funding a greater proportion of the workforce who are outside the paid employment market, who still are, well, to be blunt, are very expensive people to look after. So we've got to get policies to encourage people to stay in paid work.
Well, that's that whole issue of the entitlement culture, which, I think will emerge at some point in this term or maybe another term that Joe Hockey's already flagged. And Kevin Andrews has certainly, he'll probably have the relevant portfolio, has flagged. So, I mean, this could become politically really a very demanding area, couldn't it?
Oh, it is, and it's one of those ones that Treasury pop up with every now and then with their intergenerational report. So it's not just a short-term problem of the unemployment rate creeping up and participation rate creeping down. You know, we get these monthly numbers all the time. But the trend is now very clear what's occurring there. So we need, as you quite rightly put, the sense of entitlement issue to come back onto the centre stage of discussion and have what is a range of very expensive programs being given from the government to people who are probably reasonably well off or pretty well off anyway, to just be scaled back a little bit. Otherwise, we do run into this problem where we've got a large and growing bill to fund these sorts of entitlement programs and a smaller proportion of the workforce earning money to pay for them.
Yes, but, you know, one of the really disturbing issues that's emerging is not the aged, it's the rising number of young people who can't find work. I heard yesterday that the jobless rate for 15 to 19-year-olds is now approaching 28%. It was a big issue, for instance, in the Central Coast, where I went with Saturday Extra last week, with those two marginal seats up there. Big, big issue of the young people not being able to find work. And the number of underemployed people who'd like work, to work more hours but can't, is also in the double digits. So, I mean, what's your assessment about what this says about our economy?
Look, there's a couple of things that we're underperforming. The best thing to generate jobs is economic growth, and that's where the Reserve Bank have been pretty good at cutting interest rates. They're hoping to kickstart some activity in the housing sector with very low interest rates. They're hoping that the non-mining parts of the economy can be a little bit more forthcoming with their investment plans. And the fact that the dollar's now in the low 90s as opposed to the 105 sort of level against the US dollar is helping some of the sectors that are quite employed employment intensive, things like the tourism industry, education exports, and all of the second round parts of the economy that come from a pickup in activity in those areas are starting to come through. And again, earlier this week, very encouragingly, we saw that lift in business confidence and consumer sentiment. So people are feeling a little bit more optimistic. Whether it's just politics and it'll fade away, I'm not sure, but it's better to see a few positive numbers coming through when you're still getting this lagging indicator of the economy, employment and the unemployment rate, showing, you know, slightly disconcerting trends.
One of the things that also emerged, I thought very interestingly in the whole lead up to the election, was that it was fear of unemployment, let alone real unemployment, that was a major cause of people's voting patterns and their own sense of well-being or not. And that's something we don't talk about. So even if they're in jobs, they're worried about things, so they've stopped spending and pulled back generally.
That's very true, and we've seen that in people increasing their savings, for example. The household saving rate is very high and credit growth is very low, so they're not borrowing much at the moment and they're saving a lot of money for fear of not having employment, or perhaps looking at it another way. And I think this is an issue that could emerge over the next little while, that being a couple of years, is the casualisation of the workforce. That is, people who might be working, you know, very busily this coming month and they get paid, but next month, because of a seasonal downturn or a change in employment trends, or the firm that they're working for just perhaps automating things, they just don't have a job anymore. So it's not actually the economy itself that's causing some of this insecurity for many workers. It's the fact that they're on casual work without any real entitlements that come with that, no permanency, so that when there is a little bit of a lull in the economy, they're the first people to lose their jobs.
Yes, I see Tim Colbatch in the Sydney Morning Herald today writing that rising unemployment and falling full-time jobs appear to have been a key factor behind the large swings against Labor across southeastern Australia in the election. So this really does have its, you know, very definite outcome. There's the flip side of all of this, of course, which presumably employers would be welcoming, is declining wages growth. This is certainly not the climate for workers to be demanding pay rises, is it?
No, it certainly isn't. And if we look at the most recent wages data that came out a few weeks ago, it confirmed that the overall wages growth is less than 3%. It's in fact 2.9%. And the only time that I can go back in history and see that it was any lower was a temporary period during the depths of the GFC where wages growth slowed. And you know, we've got used to Australia the scenario where wages growth at 3.75% or 4.25% is sort of what we used to. Now we're below 3%. So it's suggesting that, well, two things. One is that the labour market's actually quite flexible, that that we are seeing a moderation in wages growth at a time when the economy is subdued. But from a consumer side and an economic growth perspective, if you're not earning as much money, or the growth of your wages isn't as great as it has been in past years, you're again more likely to be insecure in your spending patterns. Well, that the economy takes some, it takes something to sort of snap the economy into a stronger growth path.
Well, does that mean they'll start hiring again?
Look, we need the economy to pick up, and we need economic growth to be 3% plus for firms to be really hiring at a great rate of knots. And look, the jury's out on that one. I think the Reserve Bank will be delighted with some of the recent indicators that have come through on housing starts, even house prices, and to some extent these sentiment indicators.
Although
that
that's
mentioned.
A small worry, you see, isn't it, that there's a little bubble?
Yeah, well, it's one of those ones. A little bit of inflation's a good thing. It's like you know, like red wine. A couple of glasses is good. It's when you get to the eighth and ninth one that it's not so good. But yeah, but they're wanting to get this economy to be growing at 3% plus. That's one of their objectives. And the curious thing will be how Mr. Hockey and Mr. Abbott approach their fiscal policy challenge, if you like, whether they do bring out some significant spending cuts, which would possibly hurt the economy just when it's picking up. But we'll have to wait and see what they actually do when they get their audit.
Well, Stephen Koukoulas, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Stephen Koukoulas, Managing Director of the Canberra-based consultancy Market Economics.